This is the TSG Multimedia Podcast for January of 2023. We're sponsored by the TSG Train Crew on Patreon. Thank you very much. I'm John, host of the longest-running train-related podcast, going strong every single month since January of 2010. Welcome to another new year. I'm glad you're here. 2022 turned out to be a very busy year for us. A lot of the events that we attended this past year have videos that go into more detail, and I've created a list of links in the description of this video so you can learn more if you see something in the summary that piques your interest. Before we get to that, I want to wish everyone a Happy New Year first and mention something cool that just happened recently. On December 28th, the TSG Multimedia YouTube channel went over 15 million views. Thank you all for your interest in what we do here. And remember, if you like what you see, you're always welcome and even encouraged to share the links to our programs with your friends on social media and even on email lists like Groups.io. In late January of last year, we had a chance to go to Sacramento to document the ongoing restoration work on the Southern Pacific 1744. That's the 260 being restored to operation by the Niles Canyon Railway. The work was being done at the Sacramento Locomotive Works, which is inside the old Southern Pacific shops in Sacramento. In February, we helped produce the virtual portion of the Bay Area Layout Design and Operations Weekend. We'll be doing it again this year, and I'll talk to you a little bit about that later in this program. Also in February, I went to my friend Robin's place to make a video about his N-scale cannon car and military train. That was cool, and as I always say, something you don't see every day. In March, we went to the annual Railfest event at Hillcrest Tree Farm in Reedley, California. Later that month, we made a visit to the SPCRR at Ardenwood Historic Farm in Fremont to see their newly completed track extension. They weren't operating any trains at that time due to having eagles nesting along the right-of-way, but we were able to capture some interview footage for a video that was under pre-production at the time. In early April, we went out to the Western Railway Museum for a special behind-the-scenes look at some of the equipment they have and maintain there. That was especially cool, and of course, there's a video here on the channel about it. Later in April, I got together with my buddy John Wiley to record some narration for a Wiley's Wandering video he shot up at Soundrail during an operating trip he took the month before. Then in May, we went to Santa Margarita Ranch to check out the Best of the West event. This was an important trip because we got to meet a guy I'd been hearing about for years prior to that, Jeff Badger. Everyone in the steam industry knows Jeff, and it was great to finally meet him. While we were there, we also shot a video about the Pacific Coast Railroad. That's the narrow gauge line on the property there. In early June, I was lucky to meet Bob Brown, the editor of the Narrow Gauge and Short Line Gazette. My friend Dave Adams took me there to meet Bob in preparation for a layout tour video we would end up shooting later. This is another instance of getting to meet someone that I had been hearing a lot of great things about for years. And what a great guy, too. Things started to get even busier when I went with John Wiley of Wiley's Wanderings fame to Southern California for SoCal Ops, an operating event in Southern California. This was the first time I went on such a trip. We got to operate on several layouts, and of course, while we were at it, we recorded another episode of Wiley's Wanderings. When I got back from that trip, I was able to shoot two layout tours for the channel. July featured the Great Western Steam Up in Carson City. This event was really cool, as a whole bunch of steam engines were fired up all in one place for the first time since the late 90s, and I mean a bunch, like more than 10. That's a lot of steamers. We saw a ton of old friends at the event, and also got to meet a lot of new people too. I made a video while we were there. It's the only video that I'm aware of that was taken at the event that focused on the crews of all the steam equipment that was there. That's one that's definitely worth checking out if you didn't get a chance to see it when it came out last year. We only got to stay at that event for one day because something big was coming up real soon. What I called the epic adventure of 2022. The epic adventure was originally planned to take place over about 2 weeks and would have coincided with the trip that the Union Pacific Big Boy was supposed to take all the way out to Portland and back to Cheyenne. Well, as you probably know, UP canceled that trip, but Alvin and Michelle were coming out to California anyway because they had non-refundable tickets. So instead of chasing the Big Boy, we spent a couple days out in the Sacramento area, then moved the party out to the Bay Area for more railroad-related fun. Another great part of this epic adventure was that we were joined by many other friends on the various little excursions we went on. That was excellent, and it included an important trip to the Western Pacific Railroad Museum in Portola, where we got to meet TSG train crew member Ethan Doty and shoot a video about the museum. We also stopped for a quick look at the world-famous Ketty Y. The next day, we went to the California State Railroad Museum, including a tour of the old SP machine and erecting shops. The day after that, we moved the party out to the Bay Area with a trip to the Niles Canyon Railway, where we were treated to a tour of Brightside Yard and their shops. That was followed by a visit at the South Bay Historical Railroad Society, where the volunteers there gave us VIP looks at the private rail car, both layouts, and the interlocking tower. The next day included a trip to the Western Railway Museum and a visit with Jack Burgess and his Yosemite Valley Railroad. Finally, the last day of the epic adventure of 2022 was a visit to Roaring Camp, where we rode both the beach train and the narrow gauge train. It also happened to be our friend Murph's birthday that day, so that made things even better. It was all such a great time, and I hope we can do something like that again sometime soon. Now, you can catch a lot of these great times on the Chasing Trains series that came out in 2022. You can also see the video we shot at the Western Pacific Railroad Museum if you search here on the channel for Western Pacific Railroad Museum, Portola. The weekend after the epic adventure was over, Jack Burgess hosted the first of two special op sessions on his YV layout for TSG train crew members. I didn't document these for the channel because they were sort of behind the scenes and only intended for the train crew members. It was very difficult to figure out who was going to be invited because not everyone is into operations. So I ran a poll on the Patreon page to gauge people's experience and interest in ops in general. Then I made a list from that because it's not a layout that would be appropriate for someone who had never operated before. Within a week or so, we were back at it again because a special visitor was in the Bay Area for a few days. I'm talking about a guy named Jacob Wright. Jacob first became known to us in 2021 when we put on the two virtual conventions. He was 12 at the time and attended our conventions from hundreds of miles away. He made friends with a bunch of us, including one Jim Providenza. So when Jacob came to visit, we spent 2 days operating at Jim's Santa Cruz Northern, Seth Newman's UP Oakland sub, and the Durland branch that belongs to Dave Adams. On the last day of Jacob's visit, we met him and his dad, as well as friends Marty and Liam, up in Pinole for some prototype rail fanning. That was another memorable experience, and one that was made possible entirely due to virtual railroad events. There was one more event in July, and that was the Golden Spike Ceremony for the track extension I mentioned earlier at the SPCRR at Ardenwood. This was an all-day affair, and I have a video on the channel documenting it. Search for SPCRR Golden Spike to find it. You'll be glad you did. After a very brief day or two of rest, we were off to Colorado, where we had planned a few days of activities with Michelle, including some coverage of the Colorado Model Railroad Museum, an impromptu visit to the Union Pacific Steam Shop in Cheyenne, a layout tour shoot, and a shoot at the Colorado Railroad Museum in Golden. The time we spent at the Colorado Model Railroad Museum was especially cool because we got to check out some of the plans that they have for future development, but also because Bill Kepner had the F7 cab running on one of the days. And you guessed it, there's a video all about this really cool contraption right here on the channel. Not only does this cab simulate the cab experience for the operator, but it also controls a model on the layout with a camera that feeds the video into the cab simulator. I don't think there's anything like this anywhere else. Our unscheduled jaunt to Cheyenne provided one of the highlights of the year. Getting to see the 4014 doing some maneuvering in the yard, topped off by a spin on the turntable. That's something most people have never seen. What a great surprise that was, and I published the video of the big boy on the turntable less than a month ago. Our layout tour was also very special, as we had two guest presenters, John Parsons from Azatrax and Jason Jensen of Jason Jensen Trains. The layout, owned by Peter Miller, was also really cool. And of course, there's a video about it here on the channel. The finale to the work portion of that trip was a jaunt over to Golden, Colorado to make a video about the Colorado Railroad Museum. We were hosted by Rob Kramer, who did an excellent job showing off some of what's there at the museum. So this was a very fun trip, but also very full of shooting video for the channel. I want to point that out because anytime we go somewhere, that's almost always a big part of it, work. It sounds like fun, and it is, but it's also cramming in as much productive time as possible. These kind of trips are made possible in large part by the support we get from the TSG train crew on Patreon. If you can add your support to our efforts, please visit patreon.com/TSGMultimedia and pitch in a couple bucks or more per month to help us get to these places. And let's not forget a super huge thank you to Michelle for, once again, helping make a lot of very fun and interesting things happen. I call that a super friend, and it's appreciated more than you know. Thanks, Michelle. A little later in the month, the Bay Area Garden Railway Society had their open house weekend for the south part of the region that they cover, and we have a tradition of helping out at two of the layouts that are open for that event. The San Benito Southern in Hollister was open on Saturday, and we had more visitors than I think we've ever seen at that layout. And then on Sunday, the Fern Creek and Western in Santa Cruz was open, so we helped keep the trains running like always. That was also really cool because visitors to the layout that day included an almost who's who in the Bay Area railroading and model railroading communities. The Monday immediately following the Baggers open house weekend saw one of the most important preservation events in the Bay Area when the Southern Pacific 2479 was moved from the Santa Clara County Fairgrounds up to Niles Canyon, where its restoration will eventually be completed. That move included the Lenzen Roundhouse and Turntable, as well as a water tower that stood in the Lenzen shop area for decades. Thanks to Ken Middlebrook, we were on hand to document the loading of the locomotive onto three huge trucks for the move north. The video was released on the channel within about a month after the move took place. That same week, we shot a layout tour of the New York Central Valley Division with Ed Loazzo. That video was December's featured layout tour and is very much worth a look when you get a chance. On the first weekend of October, the West Side Reunion and Sierra Seminar were held in Sonora, and it was our first time going to the West Side Reunion. While we were there, we shot a video about the West Side Reunion so it can be used by the event's organizer, Frank Markovich, to spread the word about the event. Once again, it was an excellent chance to see old friends and meet new ones. And that doesn't even count the fact that both of these events are full of excellent historical and even current information. The very next weekend, we traveled to the Central Coast to attend the Central Coast Railroad Festival. This is an annual event put on in that area that highlights the region's railroad heritage and has open houses of layouts and prototype-sized railroads in the area. There was at least one highlight for each of the 3 days that we were there, including Paul Deese's SP layout, the San Luis Obispo Railroad Museum, meeting Anita from Central Coast Trains, and something called Norgrove, where they have a gorgeous rebuilt 2-foot gauge World War I trench engine. Meeting and talking to Hayden Siebold, the chief mechanical officer at Norgrove, was especially great since I've known him for a few years, but never had a chance to meet him in person until the visit on this trip. Hayden is a great example of a young person in the industry with a lot of skill and knowledge. And you know how I love to highlight stories of the people who will carry the knowledge of working steam on to the next generations. We stayed with our friend and TSG train crew member, Paul Deese, who also volunteered to be the host of a program about the festival that came out right here last Saturday on New Year's Eve. When you're done here, go check that out and let us know if you think we should cover that festival again next year. I think Paul did a great job hosting the show and hosting us for the weekend. Our biggest thanks go to Paul and his wife Dorothy for hosting us during that great event. We had the first ever test operating session at the Fern Creek and Western in the middle of the month. Trevor, Paul, and Eric worked diligently to come up with a working operating scheme for the railroad, and we put it to the test. I'm still working on a video about that event, and it should be out here on the channel pretty soon, so look for it. I talked about November in detail just last month, so I'll just say that the highlight was going to Yuba City and getting to meet the Vargas brothers at a cool two-rail O-scale layout owned by Mike Andrews. Great time all around and a cool layout too. And that brings us to December. Hello, it's December 1st, and we're sitting on this cold, dreary, rainy day, sitting in the car. We're about to go into the Ohio and Little Kanawha model railroad layout for an op session. Should be a lot of fun. This is a gorgeous layout. It's a fun operating session. We've been to at least one or two here before. And, you know, sometimes when we're doing these op sessions, I'll run into something that we're doing and I'll come on here and tell you something informational about some operation that we're doing during the session, you know, whether it's setting specific cars out for a certain reason, or maybe the difference between a facing point switch and a trailing point switch, or something educational. So if we run across anything like that this time, I'll be sure to come on and tell you about it. But for now, we're going to go in and have some fun. This is the first job we're running here today. It's called the Grafton Local. And this is cool. This is a job that I haven't done before. So, it's such a beautiful layout. So this job consists of taking a train out of one of the major yards on the layout and taking the cut of cars that's attached to the locomotive to the other major yard, picking up another cut of cars at the other major yard, and then taking it to a town and switching. And again, this is one of the things that you have to know about when you go to an operating session. These are the instructions. And they're very complete and very clear. So if you're thinking about doing an op session at your layout, this is something to know. You want to have really good instructions. All right, so we've just finished up at Ted Stevens' layout. And we're on our way home. It was a great op session. Huge thanks to Ted and Earl and Paul and everybody for a great time. So, excellent. Might be the last op session of the year, so it was a great one to end it on.
On December 21st, we went live with last month's Talking Trains show. Our main guest was Sam Aldridge from the Oregon Coast Scenic Railroad. We also talked about some of the upcoming virtual events for this year. It's well worth catching that show on the replay if you missed us live.
Hi, so this is December 27th, and I was really actually done with the podcast in the process of putting it all together, but came up here to see my guy, Cliff, and you've seen Cliff on the channel before. As a matter of fact, you were just on the most recent live stream that we did on a Wednesday last month. Talking about the convention, the SIG meet that's coming up. Well, as it happens, I wasn't going to make any more podcast videos this month, but Cliff brought us out here into his garage and was just showing us this shelf layout that he has. And I thought, this is really cool. I'll tell you why in a minute, but why don't you, Cliff, tell us about this layout that you made?
Okay.
And we'll try to show what he's going to show us. This is interesting, though.
Okay. Well, welcome, John, and welcome everybody out in TSG Multimedia Land. My name's Cliff Linton, and I live in Alameda, California.
Also known as Clint.
Yes. Oh, here comes my wife, Jenny.
Oh, she won't want to be in this, though.
Okay.
Well, I don't know if she will.
I don't know. We'll have to ask.
Do you want to be on a video?
For what?
For my podcast.
You're doing what?
You'd be famous. You're going to be his wife.
Oh, I can do that.
Oh, okay. Here.
Are we playing that now?
Watch. The picture's going to be improved. There it is. It just improved.
This is my wife, Jenny.
Hi.
Hi. I'm talking about little shelf layout here, and I'm going to explain what this is all about. So I created this shelf layout. I got it started back in the beginning of the century, and I was just looking for a little layout to keep me interested. I was living in an apartment, so I didn't have a big space to stretch out and build a big layout. And when I put this together, I was using small dimensional lumber, like 1x2s and things like that, and then foam, so it all would be light, because landlords don't want you to hang heavy things on their walls.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I did, and this was about as long as the space that I had on my bedroom wall in my apartment.
What is this, about 8 feet or so?
This is 8 feet long and 12 inches wide. It's a small logging layout set in the early Depression era, so everything is hand-me-down. This is the area where the logs would be harvested from the forest. We've got a runaround track. The one in the back is the one where we would have a log loader, which I'll show you in a moment. The track to the front is where we would have the flat cars that would be loaded. There's a tail track here, and this is one of the tricky points of design for this, because the tail track is only long enough to fit the locomotive. So if you are trying to run around and you are trying to get some of the work done, you have a pretty big limitation on that. Put a little bit of scenery here to just kind of frame the scene a little bit.
You put that scenery so that to block the camera so we can't see the runaround track.
Oh, sorry about that. This will be a gravel road, so we'll have a grade crossing there. This is two creeks coming together, and they will come underneath this bridge, which is still yet to be built. And then this is yard limits here. So rough scenery is done here, but I'm about to do some trees, so those will come in pretty quickly. Here is the locomotive. This is not a very rich railroad. They don't have a lot of different locomotives. They got one. The track is PICO code 75, in case you're interested. But as we go looking into the yard, we have a loading dock here, which would be used for loading this boxcar with finished lumber from the lumber mill.
Let me scoot this down just so you can see the loading dock.
Sure.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Sorry, I touched your...
Oh, no problem.
Expensive model. Whoa.
Yeah, that was scratch built. Then we've got the foundation for the lumber mill here. That's an AHM lumber mill structure that's being kit bashed. We've got two tracks here for helping to sort out. And this little spur here is for interchange, because we will have boxcars coming in and going out with the loaded. We have coal delivered for the locomotive and the tank car, which has fuel oil for, this is the beginning of the internal combustion engine period. And this will be our service track right here. And then the other end, we have a runaround in here. These cars are on the one part of the runaround, and then this track here is the other part, and that tail track is, again, long enough only for the locomotive. So makes it a little tricky, but it's fun to operate. And right now, everything is in the DC analog, so we still have our MRC Tech 2 from back in the day. Hopefully, I can upgrade to DC. And I mentioned that there's a log loader. This is one of those log loaders. This is a scratch built flat car there. And my mistakes have been employed as loading docks. And then there will be a water column platform there and maybe a little station platform there. But that's about it. And I'm looking forward to playing around with this a lot more.
This is the interesting thing, and the reason why I wanted to show this is kind of threefold. One, well, let me just say the things that I found interesting about it. First off, he's just using DC. A lot of people are like, DCC, DCC, DCC. Now, would it be more fun with DCC where you can have sound and all that? Probably, but you don't have to have DCC to have an interesting operating scheme. And you were telling me about the operating scheme before. And how long did you tell me it would take to do the job that you've created for this layout?
So it would most likely take an hour and a half to 2 hours. So first of all, this is not a railroad where anything is moving fast.
Well, it's a Shea, so it can't.
Well, exactly. And that is exactly one of the things that I think is cool about this locomotive. Like some of these logging locomotives, there's a lot of, you know, bells and whistles and gadgets to be looking at. So I don't want it to zoom right by me. So there's that. Plus the prototype actually operated slow as well. But with all the limitations of space, you have to really sit down and figure stuff out. Plus I'll have a couple of obligatory or required stops. So when everybody who's working this fictitious prototype takes lunch, that's when the operators take lunch or they have a cookie and soda break. And then every time you have to fill the locomotive with water, that's a 5-minute break, maybe to take some water or go to the bathroom or something like that.
So we're not even operating on a fast clock then. Mm-hmm. We're operating on a 1-to-1 clock, which is also interesting.
Yeah.
But this is one of the things that I think a lot of layout owners struggle with, which is how to slow down the operators. Because a lot of times people just want to bang stuff around and be done.
Mm-hmm.
But the banging stuff around is the fun part. So why do you want to rush it? So, which is kind of my thing. But there's another thing that, so DC, which we talked about. Yeah. The other thing that I thought was interesting is this is proving to me, because one of my excuses is I don't have space for anything. You don't need a lot of space. This is HO scale. Mm-hmm. You know, I have N scale stuff. How big would this have to be to work in N scale? About half this size. I have a 2x4 piece of, you know, it's a bench really for a Freemo module.
Yeah.
I could put this same kind of setup on my 2x4 in N scale. I don't have a Shea, but the point is you don't need a lot of space. Yeah. And the other thing is by having an interesting track arrangement, which I was the first thing I noticed when I came out here is the runaround down here. And I saw that the tail track was just big enough for the locomotive. And then I saw this interesting track work over here, which looks very operational. And I'm like, okay, he is doing something that's an operating scheme for this. And then come to find out that was exactly what was going on.
Yeah.
So, and you know, the other thing is, it's not really finished per se. Like, you know, the scenery is not really done. It's, forgive me for saying it, it's kind of crude, you know, like there's nothing really deluxe going on, but he's going to have a lot of fun. And it looks to me like it would be a lot of fun to do the obsession here.
Oh, yeah. And it's a lot of fun to build. I've been using this totally as an excuse to kind of build some muscle memory with making scenery and fine-tuning the track. And, you know, give me a couple of months and I'll have the ballast down, I'll have some trees in, I'll have one or two structures, and this will look a lot different. But this is good enough. I'm not looking for the most ultimate, highly detailed thing. This is just, let's have fun and just get something going.
Exactly. And that's Cliff's, it's the quickest layout tour we've ever done.
Well, thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, one of the quickest layout tours we've ever done.
Thanks for it. I hope everybody enjoyed watching this. Thank you.
Thanks for sharing.
So 2022 was another very busy year with a ton of friends and fun mixed in for good measure. I want to mention a couple of important things I left out of the summary.
A huge thanks to the folks whose layouts had operating sessions that we attended. That included Ted Stevens, Jim Providenza, Jack Burgess, Ray Turner, Dave Lovelace, and Dave Adams. And also to the friends we spent time with without making videos for this channel. I also want to thank my great friend Seth Newman for letting me use his layout and pick his brain on some of the videos I've put out this past year. You all make our lives a lot better just by being great people. On that same theme, I also have a very special and heartfelt thanks to the TSG train crew, whose support also makes everything possible. If you see anyone in this list that you know, thank them for supporting the content you love. Better yet, why not join the TSG train crew yourself? You might find yourself being offered excellent deals on models that get featured here on our Product Spotlight series, or maybe even get invited to a special event that no one else gets to go to or even hear about until it's over. We try to make it special for the train crew community as a thanks for the support they provide. Thank you all very much. And of course, if you're not able to help by joining the crew, you can still help by sharing the programs you enjoy with your friends on social media. It all helps and it's all appreciated more than I can express with words. So, starting this month, we're adding a new segment to the podcast called the Monthly Model Catch. This gives everyone a chance to share what's on your workbench. I'll go first with the project I've had sort of on my back burner for a few months now. Well, more than a few months, but I won't get into that. It's my N-scale long-distance Amtrak train. I've been deciding how I want to light up the coaches, and I finally decided to do it with Kato's LED lighting kits. I had tossed around the idea and got help from Seth, who I just mentioned a minute ago, trying to do this with bridge rectifiers and capacitors, and just in the end, I decided to just go with the quick and easy way so that the project will actually get done. So I'll be shooting a video that shows the installation of these lighting kits, and then I have to speed match the locomotives. And these are the same models I showed installing the DCC lights and sound into during the pandemic. Then I'll go run the whole train at the SBHRS. So be on the lookout for that video in the near future. If you have a model project you'd like to share, send it to podcast@tsgmultimedia.com and be sure to include what it is and what you're trying to do with it. And now for the catches of the month. This first catch comes from Alvin Gilbert in Salt Lake City. You know Alvin as Shakalaka Bro. And this is Train 6, the eastbound California Zephyr. It was running 12 hours late, and I liked this shot so much that I made it our thumbnail and our background this month. Thanks, Alvin. Next up, we have some shots from Dennis Loudon. This first one is an eastbound grain train on the Morris sub heading to Willmar, Minnesota. This was taken in October of 2021. And this is a shot of XBNSF-9s. Now with the KCS logos on the front engineer side. This was taken at the CP St. Paul Yard, next to the engine shop. Our next two shots come from Ethan Doty. This first shot is the Santa train from the Western Pacific Railroad Museum in Portola. Taken last year, during the Christmas season, the train is on the platform all lit up and waiting to go for another run. The second shot was taken in November of 2022, and it features a Southern Pacific freight car in a manifest train sitting in Portola, waiting for a crew change. The reason this shot is significant is because we don't see Southern Pacific rolling stock very often anymore. Our last two shots come from Joey Butzik. Joey took a trip to Strasburg, Pennsylvania, and while he was there, he saw the Norfolk and Western 611. Also, while he was there, he snapped off a shot of this interesting switcher. A nice side view. These were both taken with a Nikon D750. Thanks, Joey. If you have catches of the month that you'd like to share, you can send them to podcast@tsgmultimedia.com. Be sure you own the photos and include all the what's, when's, and where's of the shots you send in. I'm still working on the program schedule for January, so just stay tuned to the community tab here on YouTube and our presence on social media, or better yet, just subscribe and you'll get notified whenever something comes out. One thing I can tell you about is that we're planning to simulcast the clinics from the annual Bay Area Layout Design and Operations Weekend event
on February 4th.
So next month's podcast will be either a little early or a little late, just so I don't put out too much content all at once. We're also going to try something a little different at some point this year, a daily catch that you can watch in a short amount of time. But something good enough not to miss. I'm still figuring out the best way to do that, but it'll be good. 2023 is already shaping up to be full of activity, including plans to cover the Rocky Mountain Train Show, the PCR's annual convention, Sparky 107-107's annual YouTube meet and greet, more op sessions, donuts, model projects, donuts, layout tours, donuts, and more donuts. Happy New Year, and thank you for being here. I'll see you next time.